Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Monday. It's going to be a Saturday afternoon. The very rare Thunder and Lightning on Saturday. We're recording on a Saturday. I'll just go ahead and put it up and get it over with. That way we can all enjoy a Sunday off here at Thunder and Lightning Enterprises. So wherever you are, thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, especially all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, it's no big deal. You just got to go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. The quick click at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. It was almost like a quick click or something there. I don't know what's going on. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that.
Beef.
That was kind of boring. That was a boring one.
No, I can't do that.
Don't go. There we go. That's much better.
Yeah. A little umph into it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's how it goes.
Push that one out, you know.
It's what's for dinner. You're cooking out this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I just had a burger for lunch. Really good. You had the brisket melt, so you had beef as well. So
it was wonderful.
We both enjoyed a fantastic lunch today of beef. So it's not just for dinner; it's for lunch too. It can be for breakfast, I guess.
Yeah,
we have steak and eggs.
Yeah,
they have beef bacon at the grocery store. If you want to go that route,
yeah, any way you want it.
That's the way I need it. Any way you want it.
That's the way I need it.
If it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. You need to calm down over there. I'm about to bust over there.
I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
You need it. I think you're speaking for yourself.
College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white. They've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online. collegecornerstore.com, whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, you can find it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you. Throughout Central Mississippi, let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers are going to show you a level of respect that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We just left, we left lunch, but before that, we were on campus, Mississippi State's second scrimmage of preseason camp. Talking with Coach Jeff Levy. We'll have that audio for you in just a few minutes. But I think the biggest thing to take away from it is I agree with Jeff Levy, is that it seems to be through this part of camp in a time where we're seeing guys drop at other schools, Mississippi State seems at this point to be relatively healthy.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. He said Aiden Williams, the only one a little banged up.
Yeah.
I don't believe that from his tone that it was today's scrimmage that did that, but –
I don't believe from his tone that it was a serious thing
injury
to keep
either.
Him out for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, relatively healthy. Seemed like the guys were battling once again. I asked him about the intensity. He said it's, you know, been consistent, not only just this year through camp, which is, you know, good to hear. But overall, it seems like they're trending in the right direction. And, you know, we were at lunch with Colin as well, Colin Dams of On Three. He made a good point. With covering this team each of the last 3 years, now myself, I got it at the tail end of 2024. My first game was Arkansas. So I got the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 games or so covering that season and then all of last year and now the preseason of 2026. You and Colin have covered them for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's more confident and he's definitely more personable. Not that he wasn't personable with the media then, but you can tell he's a lot more relaxed.
So we'll give a little inside baseball here. So last week, if you watched the press conference video on here or anywhere, you saw that like his chair, he was down here basically, and you know he was like,
"God, yeah, we gotta get a weird angle.
Gotta get a bigger chair." That is what it is. Yeah, guys, you got to get a bigger chair in here. And like when he sat down, I'm cracking up. I was like, this is just funny the way he looks. So this week he starts coming in, and I'm like, I'm interested to see what happens with that chair. And he looks at me and goes, we got an upgrade. Don't worry. And like a year ago, he would have just played that off. He'd just been like,
Well, at the end too, he was
yeah,
like,
well, I'm getting to that. So, you know, he would just been like, yeah, this guy, I don't care. You know, we wouldn't even said anything. We'd just done the press conference. So when we finish the press conference, I make a comment. I was like, you know, it'd be funny if each week the chair just gets a little higher. And he's like a bar stool next week. I was like, yes. So we're just having a little laugh. Go back to media days. I said this when we talked about it there. Every time I've had a chance to speak to him, it really does feel like he's getting more comfortable in his own skin. And I think that is a result of being more comfortable with where his team is
and confident as
and
well.
confident. Yeah. You know, 2 years ago, I think he knew when they took the field week two, like week one playing Eastern Kentucky, they're like, ah, whatever. But week two, I think he knew he's like, this is going to be a long season. It was probably longer than he thought it was going to be. I don't think he thought he was going to get blown out by Toledo the next week, but he did. Last year, you know, saw a little bit more from him. But he also knew that last year, I think, was going to be a struggle. That said, part of the reason last year was a struggle was Jeff Lebby. I mean, there's just no getting around it. The way he coached in the three close games, shall we say, you know, hurt them. This year, though, it really does seem like, and look, with you know, Morehead was only here for 2 years. Morehead was really comfortable his first year because he knew his team was really good. His second year, he was a little touchy because his team wasn't as good. Leach is a different animal entirely. There's no, you know, how good or how bad the team is didn't affect Leach's mood. It was always the same. Mullen, you know, it's kind of funny. Like the year I felt Mullen was the most personable on the years that I covered him when I started in 2013 was his worst year in there in 2016. And I think part of that was he knew there was some hot seat stuff going on there. Like the team was just not good. So I think he thought maybe by being personable to the media, that we would maybe like, I don't know, like run
Soften
cover.
the blow a
Yeah,
little
maybe
bit.
just a little bit, you know. But it has definitely been a progression with Leach and, I don't know, with Leach, with Lebby. And I think, you know, part of that is he was a first-time head coach and he just had to start figuring things out. You know, at this point, me, you know, Steve, Robbie, Carlo, you are Carlo, Colin, you know, we're familiar faces to him. Like, you know, the first year you walk into the press conference, like, I don't know these guys. I don't know them. In year three, he's like, all right, there's the fat guy, there's the dreadhead guy, there's the skinny guy, there's the
There's
young
the
guy.
Make-A-Wish kid. I can make that joke.
You can.
I'm
You can
joking.
laugh though.
I'm doing all right. I'm
Yeah.
messing around.
Yeah, you're fine. Anyway, so I think there is something to that for him, but I also think so it's two-sided coin, right? It's like, yes, he's more comfortable because he's been here and he knows us, but he's also more comfortable, I think, because he feels like we're going to have plenty to say about his team that's good. That it's not going to be every week coming to the press conference and us asking what went wrong, what happened there, what'd you screw up this time, kind of stuff. It's going to be like, hey, guys played pretty well. I think he's confident. I think, you know, if I put him on the media poll and demanded truth, like you can't say 12-0, coach. I think he would have been saying that this team might be, he might have had the highest prediction. I think he really does think he's got a good team. It all starts with Kamario Taylor, you know, but when you have an elite QB, and I think Kamario Taylor can be an elite QB, it just makes life easier in football.
And let's also not forget too, when he inherited the 2024 team, I mean, largely like that wasn't his guys. Now that he's been in the state for a while, like Kamario was his knight in shining armor kind of recruit here. Obviously, the biggest in school history, but that was his quarterback he picked out for a while.
Right.
You know, he's picked out a lot of these receivers last year. You know, really explodes with Brennan Thompson in the portal and Anthony Evans as well. Two guys that had done pretty much nothing until their college careers. And they go out and ball last year. So this is the year where his recruits from the beginning are now filling in like major positions too. So it's like I can see why he's a little bit more confident because he's like, I've seen these guys, I've developed them since the beginning, and now here we are, year three. You know, the quarterback that everyone since the minute he committed has been waiting for. And then he goes in and gets these guys in the portal, and obviously he's got veterans in the secondary. They have the players. There's a lot to like. It was kind of the coaching last year that really put them at the end.
Let me ask you this.
But they have the players now, And I think he's more confident in the coaching staff as well.
Are you surprised, considering that I think you and I both agree that if this team isn't good this year, that Lebby's on the hot seat?
Definitely.
And yet he seems it's
Very calm.
that's a, should be a good, I should take that as a good sign, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think if he was really worried
Yeah, if he was
about it
eight and
going
eight.
bad, he'd
Yeah.
be more uptight. He
Yeah.
wouldn't maybe tell us as much. But again, you've said this plenty of times in the offseason. He's very honest about kind of what he's got. And he was very honest today about, he gets offensive line questions pretty much every time he sits down or stands up in front of us. And he's been very consistent. He feels like he's got seven guys that can go out and play right now. Because someone was like, "Do you feel like you have eight or nine?" I forgot who asked the question. And he's like, "No, we're closer to seven." So, I mean, that's a very honest assessment. Another coach could just dodge a question, not really put numbers at it at all, but he did. So I think he's confident in his offensive line. I think he's confident in the team. And it's definitely showing in the way. I mean, people can't really see this all because, some of this stuff's off camera. But the, like you were talking about, the joking with the chair and other stuff, it just seems like he's a much happier guy.
Yeah, and his first couple years there, I would make the jokes about, like, if you wanted a 10-minute press conference with Jeff Lebby, you better have 11 questions. Because it's going to be he answers the questions like he calls plays. The 2 times I've sat down with him one-on-one this year, I felt like I've gotten more out of him than I ever have before. I'm sure you probably feel the same way in these press conferences, that he's going into a little bit more
Oh,
detail.
definitely. When I first got here, it was almost like you could play any question and he would give like a very similar answer,
Yeah.
or you could ask a similar question a week apart and he's giving the same answer. Now it's like he's kind of expanding. It just goes back to the whole thing. Like, he's definitely more relaxed and he's more confident in the guys he's had. He said it plenty of times. This is the best staff and best roster he's had. So, I mean, he believes it, and I guess in a few weeks we'll see what he's talking about.
Yeah, no, that's something, I don't know that I'm thinking back through my years of covering the team, right? Mullen was already established when I started. Morehead had, as I mentioned, was super confident and super easygoing year one. Then when the adversity came, you end up with him, yelling at me at the LSU press conference
You
and
never told me that story. Mullen?
no, Morehead.
Or Moorhead, excuse
Morehead.
me.
I never got into it. I never really got into it with Morehead either. He just made a comment to me. And of course, the way it ended at the Egg Bowl as well. Leach, as I mentioned, the totally different animal in terms of press conference. Arnett, I mean,
Well,
only 7 games, but man, by week four, the frustration was so great for him that he's just dropping F-bombs in press conferences because he couldn't keep his cool.
wow.
So I mean, you see this with these coaches. They're just people too. People forget that, and they get frustrated, and they want, and they, the main thing is they want to win more than anybody else does. And so yeah, I think that us seeing a not a softer side of Jeff Lebby, but just a little bit more of the actual guy underneath the clipboard a little bit, is a positive sign for what this season can become. And then, like I said, I think it speaks to a coach who believes that he's got the kind of team that's going to eliminate any kind of hot seat rumors regarding him, that he's got a team that can do the things that he wants them to do on the field, that his program is kind of where he wants it to be. And if you go back to media days, that's what I asked him about. I said, everybody today's going to ask about your team. Tell me about your program. And he's like, man, in year three, we obviously still work to do, but we're where we want to be. I think he really believes that. I don't necessarily agree with him in all, aspects of that. I think that there are a lot of things this program could be better at, but they're paying him the big money to do it. So, whatever he says is going to have to go, as far as that one goes. But I think we saw a little bit more about him. So let's play this audio, and then we'll take the break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about what he talked about today specifically. So here's earlier on Saturday, Coach Jeff Lebby speaking to the media at Davis Wade Stadium.
Coach, with this being the second scrimmage in 2 weeks, 2 weeks away from the start of the game. Yeah. Is this more of a situational day for you, or was it more, you're trying to make it more game-like?
There was both. Now, we did everything we did. We wanted it to be game-like today. So, again, just our sideline operation, our sideline communication, how we're going to do what we do between drives, and having the ability to get our iPads out, go through the script. So we worked on all those things. And then, obviously, with the mock game next week, we'll be able to do it again before we kick it off for real. So a little bit of both. Had a good amount of live work today and then went into thud. Best thing is being off the grass and everybody healthy from today. So ton of work to do, but fall really does. It breaks as we finish up meetings today, fall camp.
Steve, all right. What kind of excited you today, and what did you disappoint you about today?
What excited me is there was really good back and forth. We're still ones on one, so a ton of good on good, and one offense goes out, finds a way to put a drive together. The first drive goes score defensively, able to get our cleats in the ground, play a little better those next two series, and then had some really good things happen both sides of the ball in the red zone. What I didn't like is how a couple things ended with coming out defensively and offensively with our twos, both units, some penalties that we've got to clean up with those two groups, regardless of who's on the field. Obviously, the expectation is to be able to go execute, so didn't like that part of it, but getting a ton of back and forth.
Questions? Coach, we've talked a lot about the defensive backfield and the work you put in the offseason, getting better and deeper back there. How have those battles been going with those guys and the depth that you have at the wide receiver?
It has been really, really competitive, like with Kelly and Jet, and then what both sides of the ball are getting has been really, really good. So Caleb got to continue to come on. He's done some really good things at corner. Jamrock being back healthy, got to continue to come on. Q, same thing. So, again, we've got to continue to create that depth. But, man, there has been a ton of competition as we've been on the grass, which has been really good to see.
Back row call.
You talked to Amari this week. There was a lot of excitement about him coming in with his athleticism and turning full-time onto the defensive side. What have you seen from him these couple scrimmages?
Man, I've seen a guy get better. Like, he is so invested in the process and his day-to-day and who he is in the building, outside the building. Every decision that guy makes is putting him in a position just to be as good as he can possibly be. So he's gotten better and better. He's going to continue to do that as he's really settling into playing the position and understanding it. I love his physicality and his toughness. And a guy that will tell you right now he ain't good enough because he's hard on himself. But, man, he's done some really good things. I'm excited about Amari.
What's just the situation with Mario Nash not being on the team?
Yeah, Rio hated, but went ahead and stepped away from the game. And for him, a guy obviously that at the time we were really excited about, and he's went ahead and stepped away, and that was something that he did. So wish him the best of luck.
Right, that's Steve. Coach, you mentioned before you thought you had about six offensive linemen that were ready to play one in football.
Yeah.
You wanted to have eight or nine. Where do you feel like you are in that process?
But we're not quite to eight or nine. I feel really good about seven guys. We're getting closer and closer. That'll be a huge discussion for us as an offensive staff as we evaluate this scrimmage today, as we move forward tomorrow, truly start setting the two deep. I love that there's been great competition, but today's tape, how guys grade out and their physicality, things like that, will make a big part of the decision and where we go on Monday.
Left side, Carl.
Outside of Anthony Evans, there's obviously a lot of competition in the wide receiver room. Have you seen anyone separate themselves through these scrimmages and practices, or what do you like from that room as well?
Yeah, I do like the depth. I think you think about Zion Raggins, what he's done through camp has been really good. Frisco's continued to get better, is going to be a really good player. Marquise, Grayson, both of those guys really good. Aiden's been a little banged up, but hoping to get back all the way healthy. So you think about those six guys being able to go play really clean, good football. That's exciting, with a couple other guys that got a chance to flash, like Camden. Zion Crumpton's done some really good things, along with Matt Mayfield. So those nine guys are really the guys that can play on teams and be able to go do what we need them to do offensively.
Sam?
What do you think just needs to happen, or what do you need to see
this next week of practice before you start really turning your attention to the UOM?
Yeah, as we get ready for mock game, like, we need guys to continue to trust the process and be able to get better every single day. Like, our intent in the building has to be elite. There's got to be incredible urgency in how we do what we do. And I think our guys are built that way right now. So, man, it is. It's just about the day-to-day, making sure we're better Monday than we were today by how we do what we do for the next 48 hours. So our guys are bought into that, and that's what we'll need to continue to see.
When I talked to you Wednesday, you said you wanted to see Kamario continue to improve, making plays from the pocket.
Yeah.
Seeing that these past couple weeks.
Yeah, he's really strained to play from the pocket, which has been, again, really good. That's why I love spring ball for the quarterback position, especially when you've got an elite athlete. That's why I love fall camp, because the whistle's going to blow as soon as he escapes. And so being able to play from the pocket is exactly what he is strained to do at a really high level. He's gotten better and better. Once he goes live, you know, that'll be the real test. But proud of him and how he's worked.
Back right, Elijah.
Kind of building off of Camario's pocket presence, do you think the defensive line rush lane discipline has kind of improved over the offseason?
Yeah, I think we've got better pass rushers, so it's going to create more condensed pockets. I think we're going to have the ability to push the pocket a little more, so that immediately creates stress and pressure for the guy holding the ball.
West side, Robbie and Danny.
You mentioned Zion Crumpton. That's a guy, you talk to coaches in the state of Alabama, he's one of the better athletes in the state. Playing wide receiver full time and kind of learning it, learning the technique and all that stuff. Do you see it kind of coming together for him at this portion of camp?
I do. He's still so young. He got here when he got here, obviously, which is a little later, but a guy that has just started playing the position full time. Man, I love his upside. He is incredibly competitive. Guy's got a chance to be a really, really good player, but proud of, man, how he's just gone through camp. He hadn't hit that so-called freshman wall at all. He's had great energy and been really, really effective for us, which has been really good to see.
Some of the defensive guys are probably familiar with Zach on his team, and some maybe not so much. How have you seen everybody just kind of gel?
Yeah, I've seen a ton of retention from the spring. Talked about that at the beginning of fall camp. Guys are in a much better spot mentally and from an understanding just the scheme part of it than we were day one of spring ball. There's been retention. We've continued to install at a pretty high level and try to create strain and stress for these guys mentally as we get ready to roll. So I do. I feel good about, you know, these top 24, 26 guys defensively and how we're playing in our knowledge of the system.
Steve, we talk a lot about players. You've made some changes to the coaching staff. How do you feel like guys are just kind of assimilating and beginning to become a cohesive unit on your coaching staff?
Yeah, that part's been really good. And again, we've been through spring. Now we've been through summer. We've gone through fall camp. There's familiarity. There's understanding of how we're going to go do what we do, what the energy and the culture is in the building. And so there's been a pretty cohesive group of guys, man, pulling the rope the same way and excited about what's coming down the pipe 2 weeks from today.
Colin?
A couple of the linemen talked to us about, you know, the addition of Blake being back and fully healthy and full go.
Yeah.
Has he put himself into that tackle conversation like you hope he
was? Yeah, he has. He's also put himself in the guard rotation. So that's a guy that does. He's got real position flexibility. There's been great competition with him and a couple of these other guys fall camp, which is exactly what we needed.
West side, Sam and Carla.
You mentioned Billy Puckett last week as he gets some second team reps. What have you just seen out of his development since he got here a year ago to put him in the spot now where he's competing?
Guy's got just some very, very natural qualities about him. There's plenty of guys that can go look good and throw the football in warm-ups, and then having the ability to go lead a group and guys follow him, that's a completely different conversation. And so he has that. Guys respect and love playing for Bill, and he's done everything he can possibly do to put himself in a competition. So really proud of him. He's got a ton of work to do, but him along with AJ, you know, there's been great competition there, which has been great.
This is obviously your third fall camp here. How would you describe the intensity this season compared to
yeah the intensity has been able to sustain a little more because I think we're deeper and there's just better players. The roster's better, so therefore there's more competition when the twos go, and when the threes are going, there's some competition, some good players. So I think what's happened is you've seen the energy and the physicality and the speed be able to sustain, and that's been really, really good.
Last week you talked about Dalton and Braylon Womack. This week you talked about Camden Gabehart and Zach Compton. Are you surprised by the number of true freshmen who seem like they're going to have a chance to contribute this year?
You know, I'm really not, because when we signed these guys, I was really excited about them in the moment and thought that a couple of these guys would have the ability from a body type standpoint to help, and then just some other qualities like Camden that you can't coach these things. And so thought that he was going to be able to transition pretty quickly. And so, again, that's been good.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, let's move into the last part of the show here. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. I was at Two Brothers on Friday. How did you know that I went to Two Brothers? Did Robbie say something?
I got eyes in the sky. No, one of my friends was sitting next to you.
Okay. Okay.
And he said, "Hey, Dad's next to me." I said,
"Did he text you?"
Well, yeah. But I was already texting him in the first place. It's not out of the blue.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
chill out, dude. You're not.
No, what I'm going to say is, like, speak.
You're throwing Hollywood on us. No,
just speak. Say hello.
I can't speak for him, man.
Say, hey. Hey, Dad. I'm, what's his name?
Justin.
And I'm Carlos.
He's going to listen to this now and
fine.
Laugh.
It's like, I'm Carlo's friend. I would have been like, oh, man. Yeah, I hate Carlo. It would have been great.
Whoa. What the heck?
So, yeah, just speak. As we were leaving the lunch today, somebody was like, "Hey, Brian, how's it going?" "It's going great. Good to see you."
Guys, he's going full Hollywood on us. He made fun of Brandon Walker for doing this. Now look at this. Look at you.
No. How is this going Hollywood? I'm telling people to speak to me.
Oh, gosh. I just hate when people recognize me.
No, I don't hate that. I enjoy it. I'm telling your friend who said he was sitting right next to me, and he's texting you like, "Oh, my God." I'm not Brad Pitt. Just say hello.
Well, he listens to the podcast daily, right, so.
Justin, next time I'm out and about, if you see me, come by, say hello.
His name's Justin Rook. Say his full name. Give the man some respect.
Justin Rook. I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
He'll like,
Justin, give me, give me, speak next time.
Speak.
Hope your food was good at Two Brothers. Mine was great. It's fantastic. And it, like it always is. So it's a long roundabout way to say you should eat at Two Brothers and the older brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, new computers, they've got you taken care of. And they've got you taken care of long after the sale is made. You can trust Advantage Business Systems to deliver service after the sale. That's how they've been able to stay in business as long as they have. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Driving around town today, you're starting to see the students come back. Everybody's in town now. It's almost game day. You know, this is the two Saturdays from right now. Gosh, two Saturdays from right now. I won't be at the stadium yet with a 6 o'clock kick, but I'll be thinking about it.
Oh, when I wake up, it's like, you know, when the first day of school, you got the pants and the shirt on the ground.
The fit.
Yeah, fit.
Yeah.
I'll have probably a similar thing I'm wearing right now with some sunscreen.
Yeah.
And
I'm wearing gym shorts right this second.
Yeah, but we could watch football all day before.
Well, I plan to.
Probably just the morning, maybe half the second game.
We can get most of the second game, man. I'll leave the house around 4.
Maybe. Well, I'm saying maybe get halftime, you leave.
Yeah.
Watch second half.
That's
in
the plan.
Box.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. That's the dream, baby.
It is the dream. The other dream.
Shake and bake.
All right. You smell a delicious, crispy aroma. It's thunder and lightning. Anyway, I say all that to say that game day is coming very soon. You're going to be in Starkville. You need to shop at Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, Mississippi State, here in Starkville, they've got it at Maroon & Co. So go by and see them. And more importantly, you can save some money. You know, nowadays, that's important. Save 15% off your purchase with our code THUNDER15. That works in-store or online at maroon&co.com. Next time you're in Starkville, before you head to the game, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Like I mentioned earlier, it's 185 degrees outside, give or take a few. I don't know. I've never stood on the surface of the sun, but it can't be much hotter than what it is right now. So if you got to mow the grass, guys, you want to get in, out, done. You want to be over with. A John Deere mower is a big help in that. You need John Deere power to get through your yard. Don't let your yard work you. You work your yard with a John Deere mower from Scruggs. John Deere mowers, John Deere compact tractors, and if you're trying to get off the off-road and enjoy yourself, a John Deere Gator. They've got them all at Scruggs. Great financing available. Give them a call. Talk to them today. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less.
Gator.
This is not the kind you eat.
No, I know.
Yeah. You can go get things to eat on the Gator.
No, yeah. The Gator. Yeah.
You could go get a Gator.
Could you use it during the night time, you think?
Oh, no. No. If it's got lights on it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. So. Good old land and timber. If you're looking for land, if you're looking to buy or sell land, if you're already a landowner, you just need advice. You need, expertise on how to best manage your land. Good Hope Land and Timber handles all of those problems for you. Doesn't matter if you're trying to buy or sell, big or small. If you are a landowner, if you're just trying to, hey, I have all this timber. What do I do? How do I best manage it? Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help answer those questions. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a phone call. 601-442-9888. Or you can go online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. So, what did you take away from what Jeff Lebby had to say today? One of my questions that I was interested to see what he said was about Camario, where when I talked to him for the Not Fall Camp Tour, he said he wanted Camario to work on making plays in the pocket. And I hadn't considered this, but he talked about how he loves spring and fall, and he said fall camp, but it's not that, Coach, if you're listening. It's preseason camp. It's not fall outside. But he's like, because once you leave the pocket, the whistle blows. Because we're not going to let him get hit, right? And I was like, I hadn't thought about that. But like, yeah, it makes it where if you want to throw this football, you better throw it from here in the pocket. Camario's improvement as a pocket passer is going to be what determines Mississippi State. We know he can make the plays with his legs. We know when the play breaks down, he's elite. We know that he can throw on the run. That's not the issue. What can you do on it's second and six, and we just want to throw a curl and get a first down here? What can you do? That's going to be the difference between winning and losing for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying it the whole offseason. The offensive line's an X factor. Camario's play will be an X factor, and especially in the intermediate routes where it's, you don't need to go extend the play, 5-6 seconds out of the pocket, make a, throw down field.
Right.
I liked his answer when you asked him that question.
Mm-hmm.
The question wasn't very good, but the answer was good. No, in all seriousness, no, that is definitely going to be one of the X factors of the season is, those intermediate routes when the pocket, and I mean, let's face it, if they have a lot of injuries on the offensive line, he's going to have to do some superhero stuff. But in the beginning, he should be able to throw from the pocket pretty well because, I mean, Lebby's confident in his offensive line. So if they're as good as much as he believes they are, he'll have his opportunities to stand in there and make some, what could be some brilliant throws downfield, especially with, how this offense is going with the veer and shoot. But I think, I liked his answer there. I liked how they were relatively healthy. It seems like they're on the right track, and they're starting to ramp up. What do they say? Next week they have a mock game.
Mock game, yeah.
Mock game. And today was – it sounded like maybe a little intermediate of what
it's
last week
like
was.
A mix of situational
and what next week will be.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah.
So, seems like they're doing well. He said the defense got off to a rocky start but then rebounded, which is
some
good.
Some of the issues is how he did.
Well, yeah. He also said it was with the twos and threes,
yeah,
too. So –
but we
take that with a grain of salt.
We've talked about that, though, that depth is going to be so important for Mississippi State this year because of the aggressive nature with what they want to play. You asked about the wide receivers.
I did.
Now, what did you think about that answer?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I was hoping he'd say some. He's not going to give
he's
out.
He's not going to give you the lineup yet.
Yeah, but he's mentioned one of the guys he mentioned was Zion or Ragans.
Which we learned today,
yeah.
Zion Ragans.
Or Ragans, excuse
yeah.
me.
I've been saying Ragans for a while, so
yeah.
Maybe he's been listening.
He singled him out, but you got to also think he's got Marquise Johnson. Mm-hmm.
He's mentioned
talked about
Hamden Capehart a couple of times.
I was that also going to bring that up. Yeah, he said, obviously, Capehart is the speed. Everyone knows that. But he mentioned the freshman, too. you know, we always talk about, you know, freshman running backs. I think that's the position that and Womack are probably the guys you would think in theory would be the ones that would play the most out of the true freshmen. I guess we haven't really talked about the freshman wide receivers. He said he was confident with 9 guys that they have right now.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really match up to kind of what he's done in the past. But being deep at that position, and it seems like he likes the development where those freshmen are at. So I thought his answer receiver was good. I still believe, you know, they've got Evans probably in the slot. They've got probably, I forgot who I said, Marquise Johnson and San Francisco McGee is the other two guys. But it seems like he's confident in about 5 or 6 guys that if, you know, one of them goes down or something, that he can plug and play.
It feels like, you know, Evans is locked into the slot. And then it's, you know, depending on the day, maybe between Aiden Williams and San Francisco McGee on one side, depending on the day with Marquise Johnson and Zion Rajans at the other side. And then, you know, Grayson Harris or Camden Capehart might be the next guy. He said 9, but I think you and I both know that 9 aren't going to play.
No, they're not probably closer to 5 or 6.
5 or 6 at most. And when we talk about play, I mean, the 6th guy is going to be like a 10 to 12 catch guy.
You know,
not a lot.
I will say Camario has gassed up Grayson Harris as well.
He's mentioned him a few times.
That's the guy that I guess we probably don't do a good enough job of talking about.
We haven't seen him, you know. But
yeah, it's hard to do an evaluation on these guys when, you know, half the time we're going to the team periods or practices, you know, some stretching, and then they're doing individual work and the same drills they did in the spring. And I don't fault state that at all. It's, you know, it's your college football. It's ultra competitive. Any edge you can have, you're not going to show your plays. We would never be out there for team or anything. So, like,
right.
I get where they don't want to release any secrets. But, yeah, it seems like Grayson Harris is a guy that, you know, wouldn't shock me in the world if he goes out and plays well and maybe gets more snaps than we think just because of the way people talk about him. But, you know, in our eyes, we just really don't have that. But, again, we're also the guys not with the team every day.
Correct. Correct. So, all in all, you know, as positive as it can be after the second scrimmage in terms of the health, where the head coach feels like the team is, you know, obviously a lot left to do. This is kind of the hybrid week for Mississippi State where they're going to start working on ULM and looking ahead. But at the same time, there's still some preseason stuff to clean up. And then, you know, when we talk again a week from today, then it's going to be, all right, now it's time to get ready for the start of the season and ULM and kind of take it from there. So
let me ask you this before. Sure. When do you think they start preparing for Minnesota? Because if you don't think it's till after week 1,
it's probably already happening.
Yeah.
In a certain way.
I mean, with all due respect to ULM, just that they're not going to overlook them, but that should be a game that their starters don't play the second half.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but because I mean,
maybe the third.
Yeah, but they should have the game in hand pretty.
They might actually play them a while just to get reps.
Some reps. I mean, they need that, but at the same time, you want to keep everybody healthy. Yeah. There's probably, especially next week too, there will be some Minnesota, and Levy would never admit to that.
He will never tell. He will never say it.
Moorhead did a funny thing with that one time where when they played an FCS team before they played Ole Miss. And so that Monday before the FCS game, he was like, you know, our focus is totally on Abilene Christian. We're not concerned about anything else. Got to win this game, and then we'll look ahead for next week. So they win, obviously, very easily. And he comes into the press conference after the game. He's like, I just want to let you guys know I lied to you. We worked on Ole Miss all week.
He would never say that.
I thought it was funny. No, Levy might do it after the fact, but he's not going to do it before.
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would. Again, I don't think he would. So. All right, tomorrow's show you're not on for Monday, right? Monday to Tuesday, you'll be working.
Yeah.
Okay. So just be me. I'll probably drop an interview in here. We'll do an opponent preview for South Carolina. I'll get somebody to come on and talk about the Gamecocks, and yeah, we'll go from there. And one more week, and then next week is game week here on Thunder and Lightning. So that means
we got to do state's record ourselves.
Oh yeah, man, that's this week. We'll go game by game and break through that. We got 2 opponent previews to do this week. We'll keep everything up with practice. We haven't talked about basketball. I might do that tomorrow, or might wait till we get you back, one of the two. But, you know, State picked up a commitment. The international kid, Costantinos, is out. And, you know, they're still looking to bring some guys in. But we'll do that for another day. Talk to you guys on Tuesday. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.